Hey everyone, it's Ellie Noss here with Atomic Moms. I'm whispering right now because it's my daughter's nap time. I had a crazy couple days with her sleeping. She figured out how to take off her diaper yesterday during her nap. So it looked like a zoo when I walked into her room. Let's just say there was a lot of laundry and all of her little furry friends that she sleeps with went through the sanitation cycle in our washing machine. Today's episode rocks. Okay, we have Deanna Russo and her mom on. Deanna, it recently was on 2.5 Men. She was on Knight Rider. She's a beautiful, wonderful, funny actress. And it's really fun too because her mother was a flight attendant in the 1960s. So she ends up discussing like the class action suits about how they would get fired if their employers found out they were married. She talks about rejoining the workforce when she was a single mom. So getting the grandma's perspective was really awesome, and I look forward to interviewing more grandmothers in the future. With Deanna, we talk about her marriage. We talk about all the wedding planning that went on while she was pregnant, and we talk about grieving while being pregnant. It's a really special episode, and we look forward to you listening to it. Listen up.
Hi.
Hi.
I feel like I'm leaving you high and dry, but I gotta go, and I gotta go do kind of a fun little thing. So
this feels like it's very Atomic Moms.
Yeah. So I'm doing a little, there's the series of sketches that are going to be part of the Red Nose Day charity function that'll be airing on NBC on May 21st. And they're doing women in the main roles that men had in memorable movies.
And you are doing?
Three men and a baby, but it's three women and a baby. And the joke is that obviously we would know what to do, so there wouldn't be a movie.
Isn't that great? I think that's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bianca will be running off in a little bit. But yeah, we're very, very excited because we have Deanna Russo here.
Woohoo! Hey, guys.
That's her.
Well, and it's very funny because you have known Deanna for a while.
Yeah, and everyone else knows Deanna because of she plays Ashton Kutcher's love interest in, you know, that little show called 2.5 Men. She also was the lead of Knight Rider. We did a web series together for 2 years called Married, Single, Divorced. Everyone should watch it. Deanna has the most sparkling eyes.
Very sparkly eyes.
It's crazy.
But so I had seen her in your web series and was like, I know her, and I can't figure out how. And it turns out we had like a really, really
fun.
We
had a great night.
Yes.
We went to the National at the Wiltern with our friend Carter Swan.
Yes.
His real name is Shelset. I don't know who you're trying to fake everyone by saying your last name is Swan, Carter. But he was like, oh, you guys just both got divorced. You should be friends. And I was like,
that's not how it works,
but cool. And then you recommended me to your dentist.
Who you still see
I
now.
Still see.
Well, he does amazing work. You both have fantastic teeth.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Well, let's talk about how awful dental work is when you're pregnant.
Oh yes. Okay. God. So can you please tell our listeners where you are? Your due date. What are you? You're not supposed to say due date, right? You're supposed to say like your something date. There's
your guest date or something. Basically, this is going to be a Gemini. I'm pregnant. I'm 8 months pregnant and I'm about to have a Gemini somewhere in that window.
Oh, that's amazing.
What does it mean to be a Gemini?
Yeah.
Twins, duplicitous, multiple personalities. I live with one. My husband is one. So this is going to be.
Oh, is he?
He does have two very distinct sides to him, and which works for us because I'm a Libra, and a Libra's apparently, it's okay if you don't subscribe to astrology stuff.
No, but Sabrina, is Libra?
So Libra are the scales, and we bring balance to things.
Yes, that's what Sabrina was supposed to be. I was so excited. She was supposed to bring balance into her home, and instead she came two weeks early, and she's a Virgo. And a total perfectionist.
Yeah, that's
By the way, you realize that's the story now for your whole experience with her, that she will never be what she's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's
probably
really funny. What's great though is as silly as astrology is and as general as it is, what it does is it gives us permission to be these things that we can't change about ourselves. So it's like I could get down on him for being, you know, like I could get down on my husband for being too extreme, like sides of himself, depending on the time of the day. When it's like, don't try to change him. It's just in the cards. It's just who he is.
With your husband, Michael, it does feel like there's two sides to him. Because whenever I see him at your home. He's like very quiet and working on his music, or like he seems to want to stay out of the trouble or like chaos. And then he's a big comic improviser.
He is. I call him my handsome hurricane, because he just like, he blows in, and it's just like things, like his bags are everywhere, and he's like, because he just stacks. He's very happy being super jam packed with busy things. So anyway,
all right. So because we last saw each other as new divorcees, divorcees.
Yeah.
Where did you meet? How did you meet? What's the story?
I actually met him not long after I met you, which is so funny that like I've actually known Bianca longer than I've known Ellie.
Which is crazy. I do the math. Because we also have to talk about that. We'll talk about that once Bianca leaves, how we met. That's a great point.
Yeah. So I met him not long after doing shows at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And but he wasn't on my radar, and I would just see him at parties and at shows. And then one night in 2011, he just looked real good outside of UCB under the street line and asked me to go dancing with him that night. And I couldn't, because I had friends from the East Coast and they were about to expire time zone wise. But I couldn't get him out of my head. There was just something, there's something about him that looked real good. It's just funny how I had known him for years and did not pay him. And he didn't pay me any attention. We were both making separate mistakes at the time, you know? So it's great that we weren't on each other's radar. And then I couldn't stop thinking about him the next day. So I just texted him like, hey, and I didn't ask him out, but I basically said, you should ask me out. Mm-hmm. And then the next day we went out, and we've been best friends ever since. The end.
Aww. And now you have how many cats together?
Three when we met. That was like part of my dating requisite, was that whoever I date now has to be not allergic, but also comfortable with cats around them. Because some dudes, if a cat like jumps up next to them, they'll flinch. And that's not okay.
I was at Deanna's house once, and I went to get a pillow. And I thought it was so warm. And I really thought it was, I was like, oh, there's like a heating blanket or something in the pillow.
No.
And I put my hand in the pillow, and there was a cat inside it. I had a whole forearm full of cats.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
That was the funniest day, because it was kind of like a day like today where we're like, oh, let's get this in. Let's hurry up and rush, grab that pillow from downstairs, Ellie, thanks. Yeah. And because there was so much hubbub in the house, the cat had thought that found like a very safe place to hide.
I screamed it so loud.
So that first date, the first thing I asked him was, not even asked him, I was just like, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. And I was like, look, I've got two cats. And I'm like, this is like, it either makes or break, you know, the rest of the relationship, if not whatever. And he responded with, oh yeah, me too. And I was like, that's cool. Wait a second. Ew, what's wrong with you? One of his died, so now we're down to three.
Now you're replacing that cat with a baby.
Yeah, that's how life works, right?
Okay, we have to talk about your year in this scheduling. You got married a month ago?
It was February. Yeah,
oh,
it was,
stop it.
I don't know.
What month are we in? I mean, this is my problem. I have no concept of time anymore. It feels like you just had your wedding.
It does. It does. Well, okay. So here's what happened. I turned 34 and I was like baby mode. Couldn't stop talking about anything else. It's weird because it was not on my radar at all. And then it suddenly became this carnal need. And,
that's a great way to put it.
And I could care less about getting married for obvious reasons. I've been down the rabbit hole. It didn't seem that important to me, but Michael convinced
me. On our show, Married Single Divorced,
yes.
Deanna was divorced.
And very jaded by it, but I bounced back because Michael convinced me that it was important to him, and because it was important to him, it was easy to get on board with it. So it was important to him to get married before we got pregnant. He proposed. I said yes. I know. Surprise. No, he proposed. I said yes. We went, we found a venue. We put the down payment on the venue. And we're like, okay, great. Let's start trying to have a baby, because so many of our friends have been trying for so long. This is going to take us a while, right? First time out the gate, I'm pregnant. And instantly, before I even knew I'm pregnant, my chemicals changed. And I was like, I don't really think we need to rush into this. Let's not try again until after the wedding. But it was too late. So when I found out I was pregnant, I had a lot of ambivalence.
Yeah. Well, that's probably hormonally. You like suddenly didn't feel the need anymore because you already were.
He was so relieved. He was like, well, there you are. Oh, for the last year, like, because it
He was relieved that you seemed like it wasn't...
That it wasn't such a current... That I could talk about anything else. He was like, where have you been for the last year?
Because your body was already like, oh, check that off.
Yeah. Ready. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it was great permission to just be a little bit water retaining on my wedding day and not worry about being a certain size.
Sure. The most amazing sneakers down the aisle. And then when they, after they said their vows, I mean, this was the most incredible wedding ever in Topanga Canyon. I mean, it was just magic. I get chills thinking about it. You get out of your car because they had like the valet, and then you look out and it's almost like Fern Gully or something. Like it's just like these like this beautiful canyon and it's all green, and then there were like lights in the trees and these picnic tables. And then so when they did their vows afterwards, you know, you say you're man and wife and you walk down the aisle or whatever. No, these two, she's wearing her sneakers. She's got her adorable little bump. And they danced their way down the aisle straight out to the dance floor and got everyone to join them on the dance floor.
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it was really fun.
And oh my God, they had food trucks. So like that was the food. I mean, where were
we had Koji, In-N-Out, and Sprinkles.
My husband has never been more excited to go to a wedding in his life.
That's an honor. That is an honor.
Seriously. I think it's still like the highlight of the year for him because the food was so great.
Well, and also
it was so casual and fun and playful. And like you could really feel like the spirit of the couple.
Aww.
And that little one that they were going to be bringing in. Like, yeah. It was so good.
Well, and what a cool story when you can tell. Do you know what you're having?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Oh my gosh.
Girl
well,
club.
We're both fans. But how special that you have pictures and you can tell her like you were there with us on this day. I mean, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes up a lot in the ceremony and stuff. You know, it's fun. It was a lot of work because it was very DIY, but it was totally worth it.
And what's crazy to me about it, having had the opportunity to experience it, it felt like a DIY that somebody had a whole crew do for them. Do you know what I mean?
That's not untrue. We had a village of friends.
Okay, friends.
Us.
But that's what I mean. Like you could feel the energy of all the friends, but it was done on such a – it wasn't like a DIY. It was like you guys made it – it was like a Pinterest orgasm.
That is the big. My husband will be very excited that that's. I'm going to tell him that because he's obsessed with Pinterest. He had to teach me how to use Pinterest.
Oh my god!
But you could just the laughter there. Like I've you know, that was a wedding where you just felt like God. Deanna really attracts like wonderful people, and Michael does too. And we felt so honored to be a part of it because, like, with your whole so people that don't know what Upright Citizens Brigade is, it's like Amy Poehler and a bunch of really smart, funny dudes created this theater that's in New York and in LA, and it's sort of like a tribe.
Yeah.
The people that are always on stage, and Michael's one of those guys. So to get to go to a wedding where it's just all these like crazy, talented, funny people like Deanna, like it was just a really cool experience. And that you were able to pull that off. How many months pregnant were you?
Like five-ish.
Yeah. That was a lot of work for 5 months pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I had a burst of energy. I had a burst of energy that week. I was like I had been throwing up the whole pregnancy. I've had a miserable pregnancy, and this is going to be a little bit of a bummer, but it's life. So let's just get into it. Then 5 days after our wedding, a friend of ours passed away, and so then we were shoved into this grief mode. And then after about a month of that, I think we started to kind of pull out of it and start to focus on other things. And I mean, grief never goes away, but it's just – it kind of evolves. And I'm telling you this because then for the last 3 weeks – then there was about 3 weeks where I was not grieving so heavily and I didn't have any symptoms. And then that just all went away. And now – so I feel like I got gypped of my second trimester, fun time.
Yeah, because you got married and you had a best friend die.
That's
a horrible second trimester. I mean, it's amazing that you got married, but that's a lot – to handle. You sent me a photo. You were picking out what to wear to the funeral and just sort of
because it was
like,
in Texas and yes, and I knew that you knew what
the picking out the dress to wear. It's just like, oh, it's so brutal.
Yeah, and then I can't touch this. It's a cute dress. I can't touch the dress anymore because
But it's strange to have when my sister-in-law, I don't think she'd mind my sharing this, when her husband passed away and she was 5 months pregnant, we went and picked out the black dress that she would wear to her husband's funeral. And and it's just like, I'll never forget that. But there's something also so intense about carrying life while you're going to a service.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I was not really, I mean, Bianca, when you and I were hanging out back way back when, that one time, I was definitely deep into my drinking, but
we both were, don't worry.
Hey, girl. That's why Carter was like, you guys would be fine. But then, like, you know, I evolved out of that, and I wasn't really drinking that much before I got pregnant. And I gotta tell you, as soon as that news hit, the bummer news, all I wanted to do was just get so drunk that I could feel anything else. Like I welcomed a hangover. That was hard, but having to grieve sober,
yes.
which was a beautiful challenge, because I gotta say, I think I pushed through it faster because I wasn't exacerbating it with a depressant.
Right.
Yeah. And you weren't able to escape it. You had to feel it and go through it.
Yeah, this baby. And if it wasn't for this baby, you know, kind of nagging me to keep eating and to make healthier decisions, I probably would have self-destructed. Not like, you know.
It was such an intense time. I mean, to go, like, you had just gone through, you know, you put together this incredible wedding.
And he was a part of it.
He was part of it. And I mentioned him for a very brief moment in an episode a while back. But to see him at the wedding too, like, just that he's a part of your family, and I knew him from high school, and
smallest of worlds,
and to go from the hot, you know, you're gonna have a letdown after a wedding anyway, just sort of like the crash that happens, but then to lose someone so dear to you all immediately after, like, it's just the most intense roller coaster.
But also, I mean, how amazing that your last real time together was that of celebration. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we don't see people in any real, you know, deep capacity before they go. And the fact that it was to celebrate something. And
we are his last Instagram post, which kind of is so sweet, but it messes us up in a lot of ways. Because it's really hard. So you were, you know, this all started because we're talking about, you know, married life and the new next chapter. But it's really hard to talk about the wedding without talking about our friend Harris, and our therapist, our couples counselor is like the challenge is now going to be like, let's remember all of the good parts about it, so that it doesn't feel like this haunted thing.
No, totally. I mean, I feel like when my sister-in-law's husband died, that it was, I think, 5 weeks before our wedding, and he was supposed to be our best man, and there's no, he was the last person to sign our like wedding website, right? Like, you know, you can like fill out a little phrase or something. And after he passed away, I checked it a couple days later and he had written on it. You can't separate it. Losing him will always be a part of the experience. But I think in some weird cosmic way, it feels like they're both just such huge parts of life.
Yeah, and then bookending that with a baby.
And then you're bookending it with a baby.
But I think it's such a beautiful lesson in, you know, maybe it's your first lesson of real parenthood. It's like, this is life, and there's always going to be birth and death together. It's the yin and yang. And, you know, I think that more than we let ourselves accept, there is a coming and a going every day in our lives.
That's what I was trying to say. No, that's it. It's like the beginnings and the endings and the I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, like, there's a lot of similarities, I think, between a memorial and a wedding. Like, it's all the people that you're closest to.
No joke.
To, like,
we were integral, not just Michael and I, but also the tribe that you were speaking of before. Mm-hmm. We all pulled together to plan this memorial, and it felt very similar to, like, we just did this. I literally was using the same skill set I had learned for Google Docs to, you know, help implement a guest list for someone that but we all pulled together and we put together, and the family came out, and it was this really beautiful memorial, that we got to, I'm losing it, but, but yeah, I was just saying yes and to that. Anyway,
I think we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
guys. We're back. Bianca is rushing across town to do her Funny or Die bit. So I get these lovely ladies myself, and I say lovely ladies because it's not just Deanna. We have Deanna's beautiful mother, Diana, also with us today. So we will be speaking with her about becoming a grandma in a little bit. But first, Deanna.
Hi.
Let's talk about the pregnancy now. You've kind of alluded to some troubles.
Yeah, I've now become very resentful of all pregnant women. I thought it was just the ones that were symptom free, but now I'm just like, because even if you're complaining about your symptoms, I'm comparing how bad mine are to yours. It's this whole thing in my head.
But see, the thing is, they're going to be the ones who you have to hang out with now the rest of your life, right? Because they're going to have a child your child's age.
And it's going to be great. This is just a new thing this week that happened that I realized. I'm like, why am I scowling at that woman across from me in prenatal yoga for having too much energy when she says, I feel great? It's like, I will end you.
So what are the symptoms?
Oh, really? There's always the heartburn. There's always the nausea. I'm just starting to get the reflux. That's super fun. No position is comfortable. Sinuses. So you have so much extra blood in your body that it can come out of your gums, which has not happened to me, but it is happening to my nose. So like your sinuses
I thought it was because I couldn't take anything. You know, it's like I thought it was because I couldn't take any medication that's why my sinuses were bad. But that's interesting.
Well, they did say
it's because you're pregnant.
It's because you're pregnant. Yeah, like there's just so much extra fluid in your body. It changes the shape of your eyes. My vision is completely compromised.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that fun little nugget. I'm actually going to the eye doctor this afternoon. My eyesight got better post-pregnancy from before I got pregnant.
How long did it take for you to notice after? Like,
I don't remember. It's all a haze.
It's all a haze. You're just lucky to have your eyes open at that point afterwards.
Well, your eyes are still beautiful.
Oh, girl.
Still sparkling.
I was fishing. So, unique to me and not pregnancies, I've just always had bum shoulders.
What does that mean?
I've just always had shoulder issues. I'm always, I've got moderate degeneration in my AC joint and, which with some physical therapy is no big deal, but also don't sleep on your side. So I'm a back sleeper and back sleeping just became very uncomfortable.
Oh, you can't do it. It makes me want to, when I was pregnant, it makes you want to throw up, right?
Yeah. And now that the only positions I can sleep are left and right side, I'm constantly pinching a nerve in my neck. Mm-hmm. So going to even yoga, is difficult because you do so many shoulder and arm exercises.
Right.
And it's a big bummer. I'm not enjoying it.
What are some tips to like ease your discomfort, or what do you do to self-soothe?
That's real. Like I
Benadryl.
And this, oh, and the insomnia has really kicked in. I can't sleep more than 3 hours at a time.
Did you try Unisom?
Yeah. So
there are two, by the way, listeners, there are two types of Unisom. One you can have when you're pregnant and the other you can't. My OBGYN told me to take Unisom and B6 or B12. I don't know if people look it up. And that totally cured my morning sickness.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That's right.
And helped me sleep all through the night. Okay. So Unisom's not.
No. Unisom's great. It's just I think I've been having the pill, like halving the pills. Mm-hmm. But now I think I've passed that point, and now I just need to take a full Unisom in the middle of the night because I'll wake up every night at around 3 a.m. and just, you know, resent my husband for sleeping so soundly.
Is there anything you love eating right now?
No. Food stopped being fun. Also, at some point you get so fat and pregnant that there's just no room for food anymore. So you can't. It was fun because I went from being a gluten-free vegan to just eating like a college freshman.
Yeah. The fall freedom. Pass there.
Oh,
right?
It was great. Yeah. I was just like cookie dough. I know you're not supposed to have cookie dough when you're pregnant, but guys, it's fine. I was like cookie dough, Whopper Jr., like just anything. So I have to say that helped me feel a little bit better in the beginning. I gained so much weight. And then I'm trying to think of what other tricks. Ginger chews have been really helpful.
I used to have this from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, those are great. I keep I feel like I'm taking care of myself like I did that first month where. Yeah.
So it's come back, basically.
It's really come back, but now with acid reflux and I don't know what to do for that except for, you know.
I had such bad acid reflux towards the end, and that's why I ended up losing weight because, yeah, it was just so painful to eat.
Were you worried?
And so full feeling.
Yes. That's where – okay. So there's hope that I'll get a pre-diet out of this.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did. It wasn't just to look good in my baby shower. I swear. I just had terrible acid reflux. It means your daughter's going to have a lot of hair.
Oh, cool.
That's my OBGYN said that was the thing. So that was the one old wife's tale that she believed in, was that if you have terrible acid reflux, that means your baby has a lot of hair. And Sabrina came out with like a 1960s bob cut. So your baby's gonna have a lot of hair. That's what so did bad. I do to make sure that she gained enough? I went to the doctor. And you know, they always would check her size and it was always fine. And then I went once and my doctor was having her baby. So I had this substitute doctor.
Mm.
And she measured me and she's like, oh, you're smaller. We should check this out. So they made me do a they wouldn't call it an emergency appointment, but it was like a, you need to go upstairs and get this appointment right now. To check with the 3D ultrasound.
Oh.
So I waited for hours upstairs because everybody else was waiting. And I was really scared. I was by myself because they made it seem like, oh, your measurements are smaller. We're worried she's not getting enough food. After hours and hours of just like awfulness, the guy comes in, he does the ultrasound and he's like, your baby is larger than average.
Wow.
Like she's good to go.
How big was she when she came out?
She was 6'9", I think.
That's
because she
perfect.
Was 2 weeks early.
Right.
So that's the thing. And I had said that to the substitute doctor too. I was like, I think she's shifted down. That's why my measurements had dropped.
I feel her pushing down to like
you can feel her sort of starting to make the
descent.
Yeah.
I hope she's 2 weeks early.
It was good because I
welcome contractions. I'm just
like you're ready.
Because that means I won't be pregnant soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to talk to you about this because I loved the very end of pregnancy because it felt like I was doing something. It felt like I could like get the room ready. I was looking forward to those final 2 weeks because it felt like, oh, well, my job right now is being pregnant.
Right.
Like this is my break. And then I had her immediately instead of that.
So
but I didn't have a lot of the other symptoms other than the acid reflux. But so many mothers hate the end of pregnancy. And I see on Facebook every day, 10 mothers being like, when is this going to happen?
Yeah.
So talk to us about that a little bit. Just that feeling of like, I'm ready to be a mom, like get her out.
Yeah, no, I don't know if anyone is ever ready to be a mom, but it's been tough, especially like when I would reach out to my family members and my mom to ask her, what was it like when you were pregnant with me? And a lot of the women in my family have been like, oh, I loved being pregnant. I didn't feel any of those symptoms. Like, what are you talking about? What's so funny is mom was one of the first people that I told that I was pregnant. And it's you think about all the gifts you would give to someone when you find out they're pregnant. So these are types of gifts, right? Like I've gotten like things for your symptoms, things for stretch marks that smell amazing, right? A prenatal massage gift certificate. Okay, really
That's
great
good.
Gifts. Okay.
That's a good idea.
These are just some ideas of like, right? My mom gets so excited. She sends me a like link to the website and a tracking number because she wants me to be able to see when this package is coming in for a product called Pea Pockets.
What are Pea Pockets?
Pea Pockets are paper cones. They're disposable urinary assistance.
Is this for like when you're in a space shuttle?
It's so that you can pee standing up, just like a disposable thing that you can just pee standing up and then.
Yeah, like when you're in a space shuttle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Right. I had to picture that the second time to get it. Because I think my mom's instinct was that, well, I don't know, mom, what was your justification?
Everyone, Diana is now going to join the podcast.
I just want to say that I'm a podcast virgin, so could you just please be a little kind?
We will. We're a very kind podcast.
Okay. I just happened to see this. I don't even know where. I think it was on the internet somewhere. And I just thought when Diana told me she was pregnant that I just remember having to pee a lot. And sometimes you don't have the opportunity to get to a bathroom right away or you, anyway. And this was the perfect gift.
Okay. And Diana brought the gift. It's the this should be our mom session today. It's called the Pee Pocket. Take a stand. It's a single-use urinary device that allows women to stand while peeing. And you know what? While I was reading this, oh, and now I'm turning it and now I know why. But I was thinking like, oh, it'd be great for a porta potty. And the things that they say who uses it, athletes, travelers, astronauts. No, they don't say astronauts. Okay. Elderly, disabled, pregnant women, post-surgery patients. Actually, that is genius. Post-surgery. Because when I had my knee surgery, like to try and sit down to pee, oh, it was brutal. Okay. Here's where you use it. Airports, hospitals, outdoors, camping, road trips, international travel. Oh, that's true too. Because sometimes, like when I was in Nepal, you were just like in the bathroom. It's a hole, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Diana, you were a flight attendant.
Yeah.
So would you have used a pee pocket back in the day when you were traveling with the airline?
No. No, I just thought this was really great for a pregnant woman.
This is also coming from a woman that had two C-sections. And so here I am gearing up for an unmedicated birth, like, you know, and where like all you do is like practice squats all day. So like popping a squat is something that's good for me. And also in porta-johns, as gross as they are, the benefit of being a woman is you don't have to look where you're peeing. Like I feel bad for dudes that have to like look down. Like that's the worst thing about a porta-john is you have
don't
to
you look down anyway? I'm always really afraid I'm going to like find an arm or something.
You're so brave. You are so brave, and I admire your curiosity.
And down the street is the park where Sabrina plays, and there's the most atrocious porta potty there. And I might need the pee pocket. You know, it looks like a snow cone holder.
Yeah, that's yeah, no joke.
But with an extra hole at the bottom. This is a good idea. I stand by your mom.
I'm glad to hear somebody's got my mom's back because I'll be honest with you. This also – oh, I took some also, out
I'm sorry,
for the wedding. We had these in our bathroom for the wedding because I just thought it would be funny. I don't know if anybody used them.
But wait a second. Doesn't it include a sanitary wipe too after you use
so
it?
Thoughtful.
No, but you just
– They should.
No, it does. I thought it included a
I'm
whole
surprised.
Bunch of stuff.
I am surprised this has not been on Shark Tank, quite frankly.
I would love to hear them rip into this. So this –
It's a urinary funnel.
That's good.
Yeah.
This package arrives right as I'm feeling the height of my ambivalence of being pregnant because I just decided I'm cool. We can wait. I just found out I'm being pregnant. Okay.
And this is what you get.
And then I got this gift and I'm thinking, my mom doesn't understand what's happening. Like, how am I going to bring a life into this world and misunderstand it as much as I feel misunderstood by my mom? So it like sent me down this very dark spiral.
Well, okay. Listen, and I thought I was being understanding.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the thing, Diana. What I should have just given you is like a huge pack of the thickest pads you could buy because I still have them upstairs from after my birth.
Cool.
And some witch a bottle of witch hazel that you'll pour it into.
Throw in the freezer?
Yeah, because honestly, this gift does pretty much sum up the little pee pocket. How easy it is to sort of lose our sensuality and our sense of womanhood. And suddenly we are just sort of these like oozing orifices.
Oh, great. I told you that. Please be gentle with me. This is my first.
No. I'm not picking on you at all.
I'm picking on you.
No, because I'm saying it's true. Like I get the granny panties.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, they're so good. Diana, this is your first grandchild, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And how did you hear the news?
I got a Skype call and I knew something was up because I haven't gotten a Skype call in years. And the two of them were sitting on the couch in their home, and they said, "Mom, we have some news." And I just knew. I just knew.
If I may throw you under the bus again.
No!
Here we go.
It was really sweet because I have a recording of this because I wanted the moment, right? And it's just cute. Because my mom's got an old PC. It's a total whatever. It's not like it's not like Prodigy old, but it's AOL old, let's say. Anyway, there's a separate camera device.
It's
on
a
top
computer.
Of it. It's a computer. And but mom is being present with the video, and so Michael and I are in frame, so she's being present, but she's not aware that all we can see were her bangs.
Oh no.
So I really wanted to get her reaction on camera, but I just saw what her bangs did.
You got
did.
The bang reaction. So. Did they bounce up like in excitement?
They did. They totally
like,
did.
Was her eyebrows raised?
I got a little bit of an eyebrow. Yeah, it was great. It was really special.
And what are you most
gentle, I ask.
You are being such a wonderful sport. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bianca and I recently did a quick phone call with our mothers for the Free Range episode. You are our first in-person interview with a grandmother.
A grandmother. Oh my goodness.
I gotta say,
what is your name gonna be?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want to be called?
I guess Nonna.
Yeah.
Nonna.
Okay.
Italian.
I love it.
Because my mother was Nonna and my grandmother was a Nonna. That's Italian and a grandma in Italian. So.
We can make that happen.
If you want. I mean, you know.
I won't give you.
Hey, you is fine.
No.
You know.
Hey, you.
She might have her own nickname for you, though.
Yeah. And that's fine, too. Because you guys had a nickname for Dad's mom.
Mm-hmm. Her name was Tony, and we called her Susie.
Why? We don't know.
But she loved it.
She did. EJ, my brother's son, one day when he started talking, he just went up to her and called her Susie. Mm. And I said, "Oh, no, that's not Susie. That's your grandmother." And she said, "Oh, no. He called me Susie. That's what I'm going to be called. Susie."
That's so good. I did everything my brother did, so it stuck.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about with having a granddaughter?
I just can't believe it. You know, I'm just going to backtrack a little. You know, your kids grow up and you have adult children and, you know, you raise the children as you two are going through that experience now. And it's such a different feeling. And so as your kids grow older, you go through their different phases and they bring home people, you know, that – you know, their new boyfriend, their new girlfriend, and you bite your tongue and you say, "Oh, I hope, you know, they're going to be happy." And then they finally do find somebody, but you never mention anything about getting married because that's not your place. And hopefully they do find someone. And my son and my daughter, I waited a long time for them to get married, but I would never, ever put that pressure on them because it's not my business. And the same thing with babies. And as much as, you know, you would like to see your kids go that route, sometimes it doesn't go that way. But whenever I got a phone call from my son, especially, not Deanna in particular right now, but, you know, he would mention something about, you know, we're thinking about moving and we're looking for a place that has, you know, good schools and parks and, you know, a nice backyard and, you know, for children. I'm going, yes, you know, but I'm not saying that to him, right. You know, and I'm doing the happy dance. And so, you know, you play it cool. And so then when you get this Skype call and you're told that your daughter's going to have a baby and now you're a grandma, I'm doing the happy dance and I'm going, yes. You know, just want everything to be happy.
Yeah.
Happy and safe.
What's one piece of advice you would like to give Deanna for this first year when the baby's itty bitty?
Do not hesitate to let Michael do anything and everything. I mean, these moms who think that You're not holding him right. Oh, you're not feeding him right. You're not changing him right. What, are you crazy? Let him do it. Let him do it his way. Who cares? Then you could take a break.
Was dad involved with all that?
Actually, yeah. I was quite surprised. Yeah, I was surprised. But we were basically, when we moved to our house in Chester, New Jersey, it was kind of in the boondocks, and we were on 2 or 3 acres of wooded property, and I was about 45 minutes to an hour away from home. And we basically, and this is something that I wanted you and Michael to do, is I really think you shouldn't have people around when you first have the baby. I don't know how you did it, but I think you should bond, just the three of you, because you're the family. That's what it's all about. And so it was just the two of us, you know, with my son. And I did have a C-section, so I couldn't go up and down the steps. I could only go down the steps at the beginning of the day, and we had to set up a makeshift nursery, and then I had to go upstairs at night, but I could only go up and down once a day. Oh. And he was good. He was good. I mean, he fed the baby, and he changed the baby. And
when did you have your parents come visit, or when did you allow other people into the home?
Oh, they could come. That wasn't it. It was just nice, just the three of us. I really enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Nobody stayed over, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like I, yeah.
No one hovered.
No hovering. And, you know, and then you get those so-called parent or mother-in-laws or mothers who mean to be good. I mean, they want to do good, but, you know, oh, wait a second. Can I have, you know, a cup of tea? I didn't have my cup of tea yet. Could you?
Right. You end up taking care of everyone.
Yeah.
Else.
And that's not what it's about. You want to take totally care true. Of
I was lucky because
them.
I knew my mom was going to come out after the birth. We didn't expect anyone to come out for the birth. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I figured I wanted to space people out for sure, especially because my parents are divorced. And then Adam's – and they all live far away. Mm-hmm. My mom came out for the birth. When my water broke, I called her, and she got on a plane, which was great. Mm. And she was at the hospital before Sabrina was born. And then my stepdad and my dad and my stepmom flew out, like, within a couple of days. And they were all here for the weekend, and then they all left. And that was kind of a great way to do it, actually, because it was like everyone got to meet the baby. Mm. And it was fun, and it kept it light. We came home from the hospital, and my dad would buy a bunch of In-N-Out burgers, and it just felt like light and airy and kind of like a party. But it was nice that everyone left then. My mom stayed on another week, and then she left. And then it is nice to find your stride in your own little family and not take care of everybody else. Because if you have the personality type 2 that's like a caretaker, like you're going to want to – make sure everyone else has food, or do you have tea, or are you cold, or is there the extra comforter, or, you know, be careful who you choose to be your helper, because some people aren't great helpers, you know?
Well, some people don't want people around.
Yeah.
And I really think we should talk about that, but because I was giving you my feelings, how I feel that you and Michael should be together, you know, and so that's why I mean, I don't know if you want me there for the birth. I was thinking that that should be a very private thing, you know.
Yeah.
But and then I had a C-section too, so I had major surgery. So when you have, you know, people coming over and you're still on, you know, medication,
yeah,
and you can't go up and down, and you know,
well, it feels like that the first 3 months, I'd say, like when anyone would want to come over to meet the baby. It's like, oh, there's all the dishes in the sink. Oh, I'm still not dressed. There's milk all down my shirt. There's like shit stains God knows where. And then someone comes over, just sort of that feeling, even though people in my life are wonderful people. Like I don't keep around people that like demand things of me, but I'm very demanding of myself. And it was hard for me to allow myself to like open the door to people and let them see the like really kind of unhinged version of me. Mm. And it's also can be very, speaking of just guests coming by, it can just be tiring. I mean, I know it feels like it took a really long time for Deanna and our partner, Crystal, on our Married Single Divorce thing. Like we wanted to get together and they wanted to meet Sabrina really badly. And it's a tiring thing. It's like you just have to figure, you know, like it's day by day, moment to moment. It's hard to plan things because yeah. you don't know how you're going to feel that day, which I'm sure you've experienced just in pregnancy, right?
Oh, yeah. That's, I have to say the only thing I've enjoyed about being pregnant is is the fact that I have this get out of jail free card. And at any point I can say, I'm sorry, I can't. Nobody gives me any grief. Everybody's totally understandable. So that's nice.
It is nice.
But I think that's also something for me to take into consideration when I'm struggling postpartum and recognize that I don't have to, you know, take care of other people because that's totally my tendency.
Well, my biggest regret is that I'm far away and I can't be there for Deanna on a daily basis, which she probably wouldn't want me to, but I understand that. But, you know, there's times where you come home and wouldn't you like to have your mom rub your feet, you know, or, you know, go to the grocery store or do some laundry or bring over a potluck dinner or something. And I miss that, you know, I regret that. The distance.
That's so sweet of you to say. I'm sure there are, you know, so many grandmothers out there who have not had the opportunity to express that. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we're back, man.
And we're back. Oh, wait. So Deanna just did the funniest impersonation of our theme song. Will you do it again? So good. Okay, when did you start listening to the podcast? I'm fishing for compliments here, just so you know.
Immediately, because you released your podcast right when I got pregnant. So, and I felt so, like I said, there was a lot of ambivalence and I felt very alone. And so I reached out to this podcast and any and other Totally Mommy, just to plug another mommy podcast. Elizabeth Lame is great. And so I've been listening to you guys and it really helped make me feel connected to the process and what to look forward to. It's been such a gift. That and like reaching out to mommies groups and because I think my instinct was to hide and be like, you're not allowed to talk about it at first or whatever that's about.
Yeah, my theory is that the reason you're not allowed to mention it for the first 3 months is because nobody wants to hear you bitch about the first 3 months. So that's my conspiracy theory. By the time that you can actually talk about it and complain about how exhausted you are and how terrible you feel, then you're on the upswing again.
It's been since I never turned that corner, as they say. I just started lying and telling people I didn't start lying. Actually, Michael was doing it on my behalf because I'm a bad liar. But he would just say, "Yeah, she's great. She's feeling great." Because we all just got so sick of telling people that I've been miserable. But
whatever. Felt so bad.
It sucks.
Because I had such a great pregnancy.
Yeah.
Both pregnancies were great.
You would wear your high heels.
I wore high heels. I felt so sexy.
I did too.
I loved it. I loved it. I couldn't have the babies, but.
Let's talk about them. You had the babies.
Somebody came up to me one time and they said,
"The babies.
Well, you know, you really didn't have experienced childbirth because you didn't give birth vaginally."
Where is that person?
I said, "You got to be kidding.
Tie them to the stake and burn them." Was that extreme?
Ignorance.
That was a terrible thing to say.
Oh, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But I've been around babies all my life. As I said, my mother had babies, and so I felt very comfortable with them.
And were you working while you were pregnant?
Well, yes and no. I was at those days, they were stewardesses, and this was back in the 70s. Actually, I started flying in the late 60s. And you couldn't be married or have children or, you know, to be single and all that.
Did you wear little cute hats?
They had just come out with these.
Feel so Mad Men.
Oh, my God. I watched Mad Men and I just totally relate to that whole thing because I was a secretary in New York City as well. even prior to Sturdising. But they just came out with the short dresses mm-hmm. and
the boots,
the go-go boots and everything. Oh my God.
You were supposed to be sexy.
I was hot. Oh, it's great. Oh, yes.
So did you keep it quiet that you were married? Like, would you not?
No. I flew for about 5 years, and they had these class action suits where you could be married. And then,
Goodness for that.
Oh, really? No, because if you got married secretly and you didn't tell the company, and they found out about it, you were fired.
Amazing.
But if you did tell them, only
in Hollywood.
But if you did tell the company, you had to leave. But these people got their jobs back because you can't fire somebody for being married. And then now you're married, so now you're going to have babies. And so once again, you couldn't be pregnant. So you had to lie about it. Obviously, how far pregnant are you to lie mm-hmm. about it? But if they fired you, you could get your job back down the line.
It's their version of maternity leave.
Yeah.
We'll fire you and then you can reapply.
Yeah. No, the discrimination was bad. But
she had to be a certain weight because of her height.
You had to be a certain height, certain weight.
You got to fit into those little dresses, right?
Yeah, too bad. I still can't fit into those little dresses. But
she would push flight attendants, stewardesses would push the bags in the overhead compartment, and it was very convenient that the dresses would lift as you lifted. God. Yeah, it was all
with the go-go boots.
As I'm saying goodbye to people, somebody said, "Oh, blue is very becoming," and I'm like, "Oh, what? Okay, bye." And then when I got to my hotel room, I realized that I had blue underwear on.
So gross.
Wow. And then you start wearing petty pants. I don't know if you know what a petty pant is. That? Okay, it's like a slip, but it's like little panties that go down to your mid-thigh.
Cute.
Mid-thigh. Yeah.
Like little like lacy briefs.
Yeah. Yeah. And this way if somebody
reached up. Kind of like shorts. Wow. Okay, so you left to get pregnant?
No, got married after 5 years. And then you could have children. But then if you found out you were pregnant and you were flying, you had to stop flying immediately.
Because they were worried something to happen to your baby?
Right. So I think I was when's as soon as you can find out you're pregnant? It was a little later. I think I was maybe 6 or 8 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop immediately. That was back in the 70s, early 70s. And then after my son was born in 76, then I got pregnant with Deanna. And now they allowed you to work. You could work because there were some women out there who needed to work. Mm-hmm. There was single women out there. And but it was a great job.
Right. But when you're pregnant working, like, were you still expected to pick up the bags?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, and plus,
would you lift a man's bag while pregnant?
No, okay. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I play the pregnancy card. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And being a working mom with Deanna, because when you were raising the kids, you were still working, correct?
I quit after Deanna was born.
Okay.
And because I thought I had already flown 13 years. I have to tell you, though, one of the questions that I hated the most, I hated this question because you would be talking to passengers and everything, and you'd say, "Oh, yes, I have a baby. He's 18 months old, whatever." And they say, "Well, who's watching your baby?"
I don't know. Well, thank you for saying that. I got to go look.
Oh, I said, oh, no problem. I do what everybody does. Don't you just put him in the closet with a bowl of water?
That's awesome.
That's so good.
People just don't realize what comes out of their mouths.
Yes. It's so
but
funny.
No, I quit after Deanna was born. And then so I was able to spend time with my kids for about almost 9-10 years and got divorced. And as I was 40 years old and, you go get divorced and you think you're going to get alimony and you don't have to worry about, going to work. And that's how it is in New Jersey anyway. They expect you to go to work. And so I said, okay, what do you want to do? I never wanted to stop flying. And so I joined all over again, started all over again.
From scratch, yeah.
And the biggest thing for this particular job is your seniority. And the longer you work, the more senior you are, the better trips you get. and I basically had to start all over again. And I felt
so
bad.
You and the young kids.
Yeah. And so being a single mother, this was a really good job if you had to have a job, because you don't work 9 to 5 and you don't work 5 days a week, but you are gone overnight. And it worked well because with Deanna's dad, because we had joint custody. And so when I would go to work, he would have the children. And then when I was home, I would have the kids, and it worked out really well. But like I said, it was kind of hard on the kids.
It was hard on us because we were
little ping pongs.
And there was no predictability to our schedule. It wasn't like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah. Like I had my dad every other Wednesday and weekends when I was in elementary school. So I, at least I had the predictability of where my ping pong ball was flying.
Yeah.
Or ricocheting probably is a better word.
Yeah, right.
But that would be difficult.
That's every month
when your mom is gone.
Yeah. And then when she was home, you were jet lagged a lot. Mm. So I feel like I didn't notice it more until I was older. How jet lagged you really
were. But
that's
nice that she was home, like that she got to be fully present when you were around.
And she was great. And then eventually, and she would always bake like there was always like a tray of cupcakes or cookies.
Oh my God,
like there was
that's
just
so
constant.
Fun. That's so nice.
Yeah. I took for granted how much you cooked for us and how much I've learned from you cooking. Because now that I'm living with Michael, his mom's not really like a she cooks and stuff, but she like he didn't know how to make a grilled cheese sandwich or French toast or anything, and he thinks I'm awesome.
So you were able to find the delicate balance of you kind of had the stay-at-home mom and had the work life and you were able to sort of be the career woman and the domestic goddess.
Well, at the beginning, it was not an option.
It wasn't an option.
No, at the beginning, it was a choice because I had a husband and, you know, starting a family. But the second time around was not an option. Right. I had to work.
You had to go to work. And you and my mom should get a glass of wine together because you would have a great time. The same thing with my mom. Like, they got divorced and she went back to law school, worked a minimum wage job through all of that. And then, just always, you know, wasn't a choice.
No, it wasn't. Not at all. And I remember living in Bernardsville, New Jersey, many places I've moved. It was a pretty wealthy town. It was a pretty, being a single mom was kind of difficult. And I would go out on my trips and I would make sure that at this particular time you were living with me.
Yeah, in high school.
In high school.
Mom got a place closer to the high school because it was, you know, you can't drive till you're 17 in New Jersey. So it was just easier for me to walk myself to school.
Yeah, so she was able to walk. And although it wasn't, I mean, I could say it now, but I probably would have been visited by the Division of Youth and Family Services because
what are you talking about?
Because you were 16 and I was leaving you for 2 or 3 days.
Oh.
This is so funny because we're recording this podcast a little earlier than we'll release it. And we just released a podcast a day ago about free range parenting. And that's the one that we talked to our moms about. And my mom was laughing about like, what are you talking about? Free range parenting?
Heard that term.
It's not just free range parenting. It's just called parenting.
Aww.
And she's also like, what is like free range chickens? Like that's she really so went funny. Off on a thing about it because I was allowed to walk to school by myself.
Yeah.
I was home alone a lot. And so the idea that at 16 you were allowed, so we had a whole discussion about this, and that's funny that you said that about child services because today it's like everyone's up in arms about it. But it depends on the kid and it depends on the situation.
Well, Deanna was always a little bit more mature, I think, than most of her friends. I think so.
Who would come over and party with you?
Totally.
No, I'm just kidding.
Totally. When I was gone. Oh my God, for sure.
It was great.
Being a single mother in this town, I didn't really have, you know, quantities of money, but I would make sure that, I would go away and I would be away for 2 days, 3 days. I made sure that I had enough, you know, food. Like I would make maybe eggplant parmesan and I would make, you know, chicken cutlets.
That's how I got obsessed with leftovers. I love eating leftovers.
And so I make all this food, you know, and so then I would be driving home from the airport thinking, oh God. Eggplant parm. Oh, there's got to be some when I get home. And I park the car and I walk in the door and she was feeding all of Bernardsville.
I also, all of Bernardsville.
No. I am the poorest person in this town and I'm feeding these people's kids that are driving Mercedes and whatever. And
but admittedly, I also had
and there was no leftover eggplant.
I was running cross country. I was also eating a lot of calories.
Yeah. But you were keeping company.
You can't eat alone.
That's so funny. I remember my mom getting mad about like all the – I had a friend who would walk home with me from school and my mom came home one day and she was like, this entire box of cookies is gone in like a day. And I remember she was mad that me and my friend had eaten all the cookies. And I know she wasn't mad about the sugar. Like it wasn't a nutritional issue.
She wanted
some. It was about like – she wanted some and it was about like, oh, do I really need to go to the grocery store again? Like why am I feeding an army? I am a single mother of one. Why am I feeding an army?
And to this day, that's how I cook. I cook for an everyone. Army.
Well,
I do.
Now you have – we've been recording this podcast at my home, so now you have my address. So feel free to ship leftovers. Ladies, thank you so much for coming on. This was such
this was fun,
a pleasure.
Ellie, thank you.
I'm no longer a virgin.
Woo! Yay. No longer, we popped your podcast cherry. Okay. Listeners, we'll be right back. Everybody subscribe on iTunes and leave us comments and go on Twitter and Facebook. Here are our mom session and our mom bombs. I've got the mom bomb today. It's Anne Lamott, who is a genius writer. And the quote is, expectations are resentments under construction. Expectations are resentments under construction.
That's heavy. I feel like I need a minute to wrap my
so good. Everything she writes is amazing. Read Bird by Bird.
Okay. My mom session is the Mountain Buggy Nano, which is this stroller that we got when we started doing a lot of traveling. And I was like really concerned about – I wanted to be the mom that carried on everything, that I would be like, I have a child and I didn't check a bag. So we found this stroller. It literally folds up. It's like 9 pounds and you can put it in the overhead compartment. So no worry about getting to where you're going and they've just chucked your stroller under the belly of the plane and ruined it, because I've had friends that that's happened to. And also your car seat straps right into it. It works with almost any car seat.
Really? So it's like an umbrella stroller that does a car seat too.
Exactly. So like in New York, when we were trying to figure out how to work with cabs and stuff, it's awesome. Yeah. So it's a Mountain Buggy Nano. Yeah.
That's such a great point.
Great. Guys, remember, we love you and trust in your goodness. Live out
your greatness and rock on.
Atomic Moms.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.